I'm going to talk to you a few minutes about something that Brother Taylor prays almost every time that he prays at some point in his prayer. He prays something that I believe should be prayed in every church in America and around the world. Something that is not being preached enough. Something that Christians are not focusing on enough. Something that we're not singing about enough. And that's the soon coming of Jesus Christ. It's an indispensable truth to the Christian church and to the Christian in particular. If you're not living today in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, then the world is winning. I say that without any reservations. If you're not living in the light of the soon coming of Christ today, you're going with the flow. You're floating with the tide. You're not going against the grain. You're just going with the tempo and the moral attitudes of this world. And God is calling His people to come out and be separate. And to have a different attitude and to see everything and to value everything differently. It's an indispensable truth and it's an indispensable hope. I want you to look at what Jesus said in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20. It's kind of amazing to me that in the last book of the Bible, Jesus would make three absolute proclamations and statements and all say the very same thing. So evidently he wanted us to not lose that focus because he knew there was a time coming and the time is now. The Bible said in the last days, the Spirit speaks expressly that some shall depart from the faith, that body of truth that was once delivered to the saints, and they will give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. The Bible said that day, not speaking just of the coming of the Lord, but you almost have to look at that day together because the coming of the Lord ushers in the great tribulation period. You say, Brother Vimble, are you a pre-millennialist? Are you a pre-tribulation? Because there's post-tribulation people and they're our brothers and sisters. And I always tell them when he comes, you'll see that I was right. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Somebody said rapture isn't in the Bible. Oh, a friend of mine, neither is Trinity. But it is a biblically supported truth. Can you say amen? But the catching away, the harpazo, it is in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I like what one preacher said. He said, I'm so pre-tribulation, I don't even eat post-toasties. Some of you didn't get that, but you'll get it later. It's not a deep theological thing. Amen. Listen to what verse 7 says, Christ speaking in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen, John says to that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The great preacher F.B. Meyer once asked another great preacher, D.L. Moody, what is the secret of your success ministerially? Moody replied, for many years, I have never given an address without the consciousness that the Lord may come before I have finished. Isn't that a passionate preacher? Listen, preachers that are not living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. By the way, when he said, behold, I come quickly, it's not talking about that he's going to come in the immediate sense. It means when he does come, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Quickly means it's going to be as the lightning shines from the east to the west. Hallelujah. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the change that's going to occur is going to happen just that quick. And the coming of the Lord is going to be just that quick. Hallelujah. But he wants us to know, number one, I am coming. And when I come, there's not going to be some great, a bunch of trumpets sounding for an hour and a half so you can get right and get ready. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Listen carefully. This may well explain, by the way, what Moody said. The intensity of his service and zeal for the ministry is because he lived in that anticipation of the soon coming of Jesus and all that that encompasses. Because the day of the Lord will follow the coming of Christ for his church. The day of the Lord will follow. The day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. You say, Brother Venable, Pastor so-and-so doesn't teach that. Well, I love Pastor so-and-so, and after he hears me, I hope he still loves me. Can you say amen? This is not something to argue about. This is something to look at in the Bible and not even argue over the exact time of his coming, but to recognize he is coming. And this hope should be in every Christian heart today. When times get rough and the world look like it's out of control, the coming of the Lord is my consolation. I know before we blow ourselves up, Jesus is coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I know that death is not going to hold us, that come to the end of our days here, because Christ is coming. And when he comes, death is going to have to give up everybody it tried to claim. Hallelujah. Listen to this carefully. Behold, I come quickly. I'm going to tell you something about the world. Those outside the kingdom of God, they're completely blinded and indifferent to the certainty of Christ's coming and the tribulation that's going to follow. Let me tell you what Carl Sagan said, the astronomer from Cornell University. Famous astronomer, scientist. He put the second coming of Christ in the same category as the cow that jumped over the moon. A myth and a fable. We understand that he simply ruled out the meaningfulness of all religious language. It's not scientific, so it's not real. If I can't grasp it, see it, scientifically understand it, it can't be real. Let me tell you something. God is invisible. But when he commands the wind to blow, you can't see the wind. But when it blows, you can see the trees beginning to sway. See, that's the difference. If it was just the secular world or the scientific community, by the way, not all scientists are unbelievers. Faraday, the father of all rocket science, the father of all that every rocket that goes up has a beginning in Faraday. He was the scientist that developed rocket science. And you know what he said? He was a firm believer in Christ. He believed in God and he believed in the resurrection from the dead. And he said, and he did not believe in evolution, even though his fellow scientists did. He said, that is a theory. He said, there is a fundamental rule in science. You can get something from something. You can change something from something into something else. But you can't get something from nothing. Can you say amen? He said that it takes more faith to believe that. It takes more of just taking your mind and laying it aside to believe that than it does to believe in a divine creator who set all of this in motion. And he said there's nothing that has ever been destroyed in any sense that is completely gone. Whether it be water that boils dry in a teapot and it turns to steam, it's only been turned to something else. And he said, that's the same with the human body. He said, death does not end human life. The body is no longer functioning, but the spirit lives forever. Praise God. There are scientists today who believe. Hallelujah. The problem is not with the secular world disbelieving. and not getting ready for the coming of Christ by getting saved. It's what has happened in the church. Preachers that are caught up with the materialistic message. And let me preface this by saying, God loves you. God wants to make sure that you are blessed. And I believe material blessings are mentioned in the Bible, part of the Bible. And when Israel came back from, repented and came back, he restored their fortunes. And it's not just how much money they had, but their homes, their families, and their cities. He restored that to them. But when the message of the soon coming of Jesus is set aside, then we begin to look at all the scriptures with a worldview. We begin to see it through the eyes of the flesh and not the spirit. Listen, the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, listen to it carefully. If you be risen with Christ, didn't ask if you're a church member, didn't ask if you espouse a certain denominational persuasion. It means if you've been born again. If you're saved, if you're born from above, if you have experienced the power that raised Jesus from the dead when he quickened you, hallelujah. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. And then the fourth verse says, and mortify or put to death your members. That means don't let your flesh be the ruling factor in your life. How many know your flesh will go after self-indulgence instead of self-denial every single time? If Jesus had said, come and indulge yourself and follow me, he would have had a lot of followers. But he said the prerequisite for following him was denying yourself. Does that mean doing without? No, it means getting what you really need instead of what your flesh tells you you need to be happy. Some people think, a lady asked me, she's not here today, but she asked me, a young lady asked me last week, because my wife got me a big watch so I could see it. And I think on sale. Yeah, it's on sale. I have to tell you, it was on sale. It was $50. It's an Armani, I think. I still can't see that good, even though it's big. Amen. But for $50, it's, you know, I can see it. And I shook hands with a young lady here, and she said, do you still, last Sunday said, would you still rather have a new pickup truck than a Rolex watch? And I said, absolutely. If somebody gives me a $25,000 Rolex, friend of mine, I just don't need to show out and show off. Now, if you've got a Rolex, it's fine. Go ahead, show out and show off. But the thing is, I'm talking about my value system. Amen? I could buy me, you know, a pretty good ride with that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, I couldn't buy a Bentley or a Rolls Royce, but I don't need to show off something. I got a ring here. It's got a little piece missing out of it. It was my father-in-law's. Amen. I wish it was diamond encrusted, because if it was real diamonds and if it was worth $25,000, you know what I would do? I would go somewhere and cash this bad boy in. That's my value. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a $25,000 ring. What I'm saying is, when you go after that instead of the kingdom of God, when you're setting your affections on things beneath instead of things above, you're losing a spiritual perspective, and we're looking through the same lens that the world looks through. And when we quit preaching the soon coming of Jesus, and we have in many circles, you know what we used to sing? Heaven's Jubilee. I was a brand new Christian. I got in church. They began to sing, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. I'm not looking at you because we're in the neighborhood age-wise. Do you remember the songs of the faith? Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Can you see where the heart of the church was? Coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that Jubilee. yonder in the skies. And I said, oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. On that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we what? Meet our blessed Savior in the skies. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. Amen. Let others seek a home below, which waves devour, flames devour and waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Won't it be wonderful there? You can see where the heart was. You can see where the affection was. You can see where the focus was. You can see where the energy was. We wanted to win souls because we felt that that door of opportunity would one day close. And now we had the opportunity. And oh, the value system. We're affiliated in good standing since 1974 with Independence Assemblies of God International, a fellowship of independent churches worldwide. Based in San Diego, California. Founded right after the Azusa Street Revival when the Holy Ghost fell. And they were so afraid of denominational structure quenching the spirit when man tried to organize it and contain it, they decided to leave things a little looser. Just let every church be autonomous. Preach the truth. Live the life. Amen. But don't let someone at some headquarters tell you what to preach on Sunday morning or make a decision about what we should leave in the Bible and what we should take out. Can you say amen? Don't quench the Spirit and don't grieve the Spirit. Just let Him loose and let Him move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen carefully. That all began to change. And now the message of material wealth has superseded, taken the place of the message of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And once you start down that slope, once you look through that lens, see, if you put on rose-colored glasses, guess what? You say, boy, those are pretty pink walls y'all got. Can you say, man, did y'all paint over the weekend? No, you just put on rose-colored glasses. And it tints and taints everything because you're not seeing the real and the genuine. You got to take off your rose-colored glasses when you read the Word of God. Can you say amen? You want to hear how far out we get? One preacher who is a multimillionaire, and there's nothing wrong with being a multimillionaire. If God makes me a multimillionaire, I think I can handle it. I'm not really expecting that to happen but if you become a multimillionaire because you're making some preacher rich, hurry up and get there so you can do that for me. How's that working out for you? It's working out real well for him. Can you say amen? It's working real well for them. But one preacher supposedly having the revelation and a church of 10,000 at the time, which was big at the time, and tens of thousands listening on television. He said, I asked the Lord what he meant. When he said it's better to give than receive. See, once you get into that lens, you don't see anything correctly anymore. And he said, the Lord spoke to me. Now listen, when somebody says the Lord spoke to me and it contradicts what God has already said in His Word, it don't matter how many people following you anymore. It don't matter whether you're on TV or you know, it don't make no difference to me. I got one hero. His name is Jesus Christ. There's one God, one book, and it's the Bible. You say, Brother Venable, you mean if I'm not going to get rich if I give to the Lord? Well, you got to give with the right motive. He promised to bless you materially for giving, but the motive has to be right. Don't let any man give grudgingly, nor out of necessity, but willingly. For the Lord loves and blesses a cheerful giver. Jesus said, it's better to give than it is to receive. Better to give than it is to receive. Once the message of the soon coming of Jesus is set aside for the material blessings of this transient world, people look at things through the wrong lens. And here's what he thought he heard from God. Jesus gave me the answer. I asked him, how is it better to give than receive? And said the Lord spoke to him and said, because it's in the giving that you can get more. That is not what the Bible is teaching. And that is not what the kingdom is all about. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I went into to have my income tax done, and years ago, when this thing was just getting to snowball, and this guy was a certified public accountant. And I'm sitting there, and he's doing my tax stuff. He said, you're a preacher of the gospel, right? I said, that's right, sir. He said, you know, he said, I have been contributing. Now listen, the guy that's promising you to get rich and become a multimillionaire is the guy that most people are giving to. But this guy had been given, he said, I have been doing this for 3 years. Now, rather than question the man, the minister, he questioned God. Now, when somebody gets in such a place in your life that what they say has more influence than the Word of God, you have a problem. The church has a problem. So he asked me the question. He said, preacher, he said, I am an accountant. Because the guy told him, whatever you give, God's going to multiply it 100 times. Now, if you bought into that, like I said, hurry up and get it, because we need it. Amen? And God's going to meet our needs, but not because we preach materialism. It's because we preach the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Listen. He said, didn't the Bible say that no man has left father, mother, sister, brother? Well, I don't think he's left a whole lot to begin with. I don't think the sacrifices were that deep. He had a Mercedes, okay? He wasn't driving an old beat-up pickup truck for the sake of the gospel. He had a beautiful wife, children. I saw their picture on his oak desk. Oak is good. It lasts a long time. It's not that expensive, but he had a wonderful family. He hasn't sacrificed deeply for the Lord. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he said, no man has left house, land, father, mother. Well, he's living in a fine house in a gated community. He's driving a Mercedes. He's got a wonderful family. And he thinks God owes him. He thinks God owes him because of the teaching. I've been contributing for 2 years, and according to my numbers, I'm supposed to have, number one, my business I have tithed, and I have tithed my personal income, and my business is supposed to be, and he told me the number, he said, God owes me. And I looked at him, my jaw dropped, but come on, this is the teaching, as ludicrous as it is. Hundreds of thousands, not just in America, but down in Africa. They stood in a crusade in Africa, supposed to be for souls in that place that's under such pressure and persecution. And stood at the platform and said, God is going to make 5 people in this audience millionaires. And a man that is part of the political leadership in Africa, he did a follow-up, and a journalist there did a follow-up, wanting to know where is just one of the 5 millionaires after that crusade. Because when you can preach anything you want when you get on your jet and fly away. Can you say, man, you can preach anything you want on television when you lock yourself in your penthouse. Can you say, man? But if you get down where people are living, you better have some answers from the Word of God that you can verify. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? Can you say, man? Christ is coming soon. And if you be risen with Him, seek those things that are above and not the things that are upon the earth. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home. There's nothing wrong with driving a Mercedes. If God gives you one, thank God for it. But I'm telling you, there is something wrong when that's why you're giving. And that's why you're following Him. And heaven and the soon coming of Jesus is not the central issue of your heart as a Christian. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And He's saying in that message, there's going to be a lot of people not ready for His coming. Unprepared for His coming. Wow. The earthbound Christian is more concerned about the return on their investment than the return of the Lord. Amen? You see it today. Where's the preaching? Where's the teaching? Where's the Christians who are living their life with a priority that represents Jesus is coming soon? None of this will matter. I love how the old saints used to live their life in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. I represent Independent Assemblies of God. We lay hands on people that take papers with them, set them forth. We tell on people when they do wrong. That's right. Somebody's got to tell on preachers that do wrong. Amen? Used to sing that song, Deacon in church, and he won't do right. Tell me what you're going to do. Kick him out, and let the church roll on. My daddy used to play that on the fiddle. The Bible said a heretic, someone that's been approached, been challenged on what they're teaching, but because of their wealth and pride, they won't listen to anybody. After two or three times you've tried, reject. Scripture said those that are making this world as it is, it's passing. Love not the world, neither the things. We're not talking about the beauty of the Yosemite Park. We're not talking about the beauty of the beach. We're not talking about that globe. We're talking about a system that Satan influences, that is opposed to Christ and to God. Can you say amen? You just can't integrate with that system. And that's why to every child of God, amen, the scripture says, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate. Does it mean to live like a cult, not interact with the world? No, it means you're in it, but you're not of it. You do not share its morals. You do not share its values. You do not see things like the world sees them. When Moses came to years, he was a prince in Egypt. That means he was in line to become the Pharaoh of the richest country in the world at that time. And when he was, but remember the story of Moses? They were killing the kids, and his mama put him in a basket, committed him to God when she put the basket in the river, and watched the basket go down that river completely out of sight. Ah, but he landed. Somebody saw that little basket with that little baby, and it was Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, there's no accidents in God. Amen. And she got him out, but they needed a woman that had recently had a child to give suckle so he could get milk. And guess who they got? I say, your God is great. Can you say amen? Amen. They got his mama that put him in the basket to raise him. And when she raised him, she taught him about Jehovah and taught him about a covenant that God had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. And when Moses came to years, he made a choice based on his identity as a covenant man. Hallelujah. He chose to forsake the riches of Egypt and to be identified with the enslaved Hebrews. Rather, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he made this decision because he saw him that is invisible. Can you say, man? He said, there's a judgment day coming. I'd rather be right with God and be in the brick pits with my brethren than to be sitting with the gold and silver of the kings of Egypt. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody needs to get that message over today. We're not of the world. Our values are different. When people see the word abundant in Scripture, they see dollar signs. They don't see the kingdom. Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. The moment they hear abundant, they see the Mercedes and the Rolex. And the same Jesus, to balance that, he said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. What? What? You mean that doesn't represent God's favor? You mean there's more to life than how much you can accumulate? You mean you got to go home and tear the bumper sticker off that said, he that dies with the most toys wins? Can you say amen? Are you in it for the stuff? Judas was in it for the stuff. And when he found out there wasn't no stuff, he said, you know, I followed this vagabond Jew for 3 years. I haven't been with a woman. Come on, it was an issue. Grow up. Can we talk? I'm not going to be part of his cabinet. He's not going to overthrow Rome, and I'm going to be his treasurer. And oh, how bad he wanted to be the treasurer. Somebody said, I know Jesus was rich because he had a treasurer to manage his money. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, we got one too. It's amazing how once you get that worldview in the church and in the pulpit, first thing that goes, the preaching on the soon coming of Jesus, it goes out the window. And now it's about things. And it's about stuff. And there are people that are following him for the stuff. After he worked the miracle of the fish and loaves, he said, you're doing this for more fishes and more loaves. Can you say, man? I'm going to tell you something. If you got a child with cancer, you don't need more money. Can you say, man, what you need is the power of God and the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. I would have died. Whether my dad was rich or poor wouldn't have mattered a bit in the world. I would have been dead before I was 9 years of age, dying with leukemia. Except there was a church in this city. Hallelujah. That wasn't preaching how to get stuff. Hallelujah. But was preaching Jesus and him crucified and him coming soon. Can you say, man? And we were living in the anticipation of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And it gave us a hope. Hallelujah. It gave us a hope. Friend of mine, the coming of Jesus is going to occur. And you don't have to believe it for it to happen. It's going to happen anyway. 2 Peter 3. Listen to it carefully. I'm going to try to hurry. It's going to be hard. 2 Peter 3, 2 through 9. Oh, let me finish the hundredfold. I can't leave you hanging out there. Hundredfold houses and lands. Sisters and brothers. Husbands and wives. If this is literal, do we practice polygamy? Can I have concubines? How do I get a hundredfold wives? Did you ever stop to even think about what people are saying? Did you ever stop to pray about it? Did you ever stop to read about it in the book? Well, but Brother Venable, that's so-and-so. He's got books out. He's on television. I'm not talking about who's on television. I'm not talking about personalities. I'm talking about prophets and whether they're true or false. I'm talking about the Word of God. I don't know what your Bible says, but mine says, let God be true. And anybody that doesn't agree with him, let him become the liar. That's me, that's you, and that's them. Amen? I wouldn't want to stand in the shoes of those who manipulated God's people for their own personal gain when we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, preying on and oppressing. Amen. The Bible said they make merchandise of you. They look at you and all they see is dollar signs for themselves. And some of you give to them because all you can see is dollar signs for yourself. And the Bible said you don't have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself. Because the prerequisite for following Jesus is denying yourself. Taking up your cross. Does that mean doing without? No. It means being willing to lay down your life if it came to it. Because you know that the life is more than food and it's more than raiment. It's going to occur. And it's going to occur with not only... See, when I read about scoffers in the last days, I thought it was just the world and the scientists and those atheists and agnostics. It's not. There are scoffers in the church. How do you know they're scoffing at it? Because they're not living with a value system that represents the kingdom of God or His soon coming. One lady left her televangelist, and they're not all bad. They're televangelists that I enjoy listening to, sound Bible teachers. But this particular guy... Boy, he was a crook. He had a penthouse in Miami when he wasn't in his studio. And by the way, he spoke in other tongues too. I didn't tell you last week the rest of the story about the minor bird. You remember I started the story? We're going to take pause off. Let me tell you that minor birds can mimic any voice and sound human. They just had a fire up in Milwaukee or somewhere. Somewhere in New England area or that Midwest. They just had a fire. And it was on CNN News. And nobody was burned up in it, but they heard sounds. Help! Help! And fire! Fire! And they rushed in there looking for somebody. And they found two birds in a cage. They did. It was on the news. You heard it. One of them was hollering, help. The other saying, fire, fire. This is true. CNN News this week. Hey, they got the birds out, gave them oxygen, and said now they're doing fine. Incredible story. Lady preacher had a minor bird. She had a prayer meeting, and she used to beat on his cage if he tried to say anything. She wanted him to be quiet. He was bored by it all. She had all these Pentecostal ladies come together. They used to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. They had a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Everybody prayed in other tongues. They're ready to dismiss, and they heard tongues in the room. Tongues. The same dialect of tongues that the lady prayed in and sang in that owned the minor bird. That old minor bird had heard her talk in tongues so much he had it down. They thought something supernatural from God was occurring. And all the rest of the ladies were, what? She looked over at that cage. She said, you shut up. Honey, because a minor bird can mimic tongues, but no man can speak in another tongue except the Spirit give him utterance. We tried to get people to just say gobbledygook words. We would get a hold of them and say, tell them, come tie my bow tie. Amen. Dino Carcinoxus has been around too many Pentecostal churches. His name is not Carcinoxus. It's a long Greek name. It's Dalawalawopoulos, Popoulos, Dopoulos, Dabalabalabalabalabalabalus. It's got about 16 letters in his name. And they ask him, why did you shorten it? He said, because I'm afraid if I state my full name in a Pentecostal church, somebody will interpret. Amen? We need what the Spirit can produce. We need something. We can put on programs. We can put choirs and choir lofts. We can build steeples and stained glass. Amen. We can have a grand production. But we are in desperate need of a Holy Ghost revival that purifies our hearts, sanctifies our lives, and sets our focus on things above and not the things of the earth. If you be risen with Christ. 2 Peter 3, 2-9 says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are, just catch this in verse 5. They willingly are ignorant of. They really don't want to face or know the truth. They push it aside. Because if Christ is coming, he's not just coming to take his people home. He's also coming to judge the earth. The book of Revelation said that the whole world will see him when he comes to stand on Mount Olive. Amen. And the Bible said the whole world shall what? Applaud. Here comes Jesus. They shall mourn. Because why would they do that? Because the Christ that's been rejected as Savior has now come to be the judge. And that's another message that's gone. That's gone. One preacher asked why he never preached on the judgment to come, even though the Bible said it's coming. He said, because my people need lifting up. Honey, there's nothing that can lift you up like knowing that you know that you know that you're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. If you're waiting on something outside, something beyond salvation to lift you up, you're looking in just like the world. You're looking through that lens. If I had that woman, I'd be happy. If I had that man, I'd be happy. If I had that house, I would be happy. If I had that car, I would be happy. If I had that body, I would be happy. Can you say, man, if I had this, if I had that? You know what they're telling you? God wants you to have all that because he wants you to be happy. If all that can make you happy, if all that can make you happy, why is Hollywood not happy? Why are they running from man to man, person to person? Why are they in drug rehab and alcohol rehab? Why are they messed up, toe up from the flow up? Why is Christian marriages breaking up? Bible said, be content as a Christian. With a Christian perspective, be content with such things as you have. For we brought nothing into this world. And nothing of this material world can we take out of it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things, but if you got the kingdom of God, you're a rich person today. So why don't you go ahead and worship him and praise him and be content that you got a roof over your head, shoes on them big feet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You say, Brother Venable, they're closing in on, well, they're closing in on all of us. I-O. It's off to work I go. Got to get money to pay the bills. I owe. And so here's a guy that's rich beyond his wildest dreams. He's living in opulence. And he's telling you that if you will cede to him, you can live in the same opulence. And guess why you cede to him? Because you bought into what he's bought into. You want what he's got. You want to be like him. Problem is, he don't want to be like Christ. And we don't care as long as he promises us what we're really after. If you be risen with Christ, if you be risen with Christ, I question, based on that scripture, the salvation of some of the preachers we have in pulpits today. If you be risen with Christ, your values cannot just match this world. They have to be different. A change has to occur in that value system. The kingdom has to be put first. Can you say amen? National Religious Broadcasters Convention years ago, which included television at that time, bringing it under the same umbrella. The spiritual leaders influencing so many Christians arrived. Rolexes. And the ladies in June were wearing furs. See, it wasn't bad to wear furs. You could wear the real animal. You could skin them animals and eat the animal, wear their fur. Now, it's not politically correct, but they had on their furs. And the camera people and the sound people that attended, Christians didn't question it. Those Christians wanted it for themselves. They don't care that the man is a philanderer. They don't care that he's an adulterer. They don't care that he's a closet drunkard. Promise me stuff. I'll support you. I'll follow you. Buy your tapes and buy your books. Biblically, some of them shouldn't even be behind a pulpit. If you had to come up and face the Bible, the qualifications from the Bible, you got to do more than preach. You got to do more than teach. You got to do more than be a lord over God's heritage. God's heritage. God's heritage. Can you say amen? Not being a lord. One man got so proud that his associate, because he was put on such a pedestal by people, one of the biggest churches in Georgia, one of the most influential that sat with presidents before, that he wouldn't carry his own handkerchief from the pulpit. Somebody had to come along and bring his handkerchief to him. It took years before they found out that he was sleeping with his brother's wife. But it finally came out. You know why it came out? You know why it came out? Because spiritual law went into operation. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. It may take a long time. But be sure. Make no mistake about it. As much as God don't want the bad press, he will not cover up for a sinful servant. He's a righteous God. Anybody see the Little House on the Prairie? I ain't got a bad thing to say about it. It's a good show if you can take all the down stuff. But anyway, moving right along. Everybody's dying looking for somebody to take care of their kids. Anyway, during that era, the story came. A little girl who never had a dolly in her life. There was a neighbor child a mile away. Lived on a very prosperous farm. And her grandma had taken parts of feed sacks like they used to make garments out of. Because they used to make them, and you could do that. You buy the feeds, you get the sack. So she took and cut a pattern out of a feed sack in the form of a dolly and filled it with oats for the filling. And then sewed it together. And there's this little dolly about this big and this wide. About this wide, this big. Big dolly, you know. She got it for Christmas, showed it to this other little girl. This other little girl came back at night, walked a mile in the dark. Nobody sees me. Went out her window, went in that other little girl's window, and grabbed a hold of that dolly and took it home. And then she thought, I can't play with it. because I'll be found out. So she took it out back, but I can't take it back because they'll catch me trying to put it back in. So I'm going to take it in the backyard, way in the back, and where Dad had plowed up, getting ready to do some planting, down at the end of the row, where there were no weeds, she dug a hole, she buried that doll and covered it up. Nobody's the wiser. Where did that doll go? I have no idea. Nobody suspected her. The rains came. And the oats grew. And guess what the pattern the oats grew in? A dolly about this big. And her daddy said, "That's odd." Amen. That's pretty weird. I've never seen anything quite like that before. Let's see what that's all about. And he dug up a tattered, torn dolly that now oats were growing up and rooted in. Amen. And he called his daughter. Amen. Have anybody here ever heard of hickory tea? It will not help you sleep. Do you remember hickory tea? Sassafras tea, yeah. Well, hickory tea, see, I'm older than you, so I'm leaving you in the dust today. Hallelujah. My daddy, you know what my daddy called? He said, "Son, I'm going to give you some hickory tea." He used to say he's going to fix my little red wagon. My daddy used to tell me that when he's getting ready to chastise me. "I'm going to fix your little red wagon." I said, "Dad, I ain't got no red wagon." Brother Taylor, it did not help. I think it made him. I think my smart mouth made him worse. "I'm going to fix your little red wagon" was Kentucky code for I'm going to tear your bottom up. Amen. But hickory tea was the same thing, because there was hickory trees up there in Kentucky, and you could get you a switch off of one of those hickory trees. And my daddy always called it hickory tea. He said, "Son, we're going to get you some hickory tea. That's what you need." And I thought, hickory tea? I don't even drink coffee. I'm too young, Pop. Oh, yeah. Famous last words. Say it loud. Say it proud.
"It's just going to hurt me more than it is you."
Oh, Lord, have I heard that before? Amen. I should have. Oh, if I knew what I knew now, I'd say, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire." Chastisement. It comes up. It may be a long time coming, but God is a stickler for these things. One man put it this way: the wheels of God turn slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. Can you say, man, I'd rather rewrite with God than to drive a Bentley and be wrong with God? I'd rather be right with God and live in the home I'm living than to live in a mansion and be wrong with God. I'd rather be right with God when Jesus comes than to have a bank account with $10 million in it. Amen. Do you hear me? Because I am risen with Christ. Hallelujah. I'm seeking the things that are above. And he said, if you'll do that, you won't do without. If you'll put the kingdom first, your Father knows what you have need of. Hallelujah. 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 And the message of the soon coming of Christ is set aside. And the message of live in opulence here has taken its place. And you're hard pressed to hear that message. You're hard pressed to hear it. "For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of the Lord the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Isn't that a wonderful God? God would not let the scoffers goad him into shutting the door of the ark. In his love and mercy, he still calls to repentance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so the coming of Christ is a purifying hope. 1 John 3:2-3, beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. It's called sanctification. Cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. Hallelujah. The Lord God sanctify you, Holy Spirit, soul, and body. Fornication doesn't seem to matter. Married or not doesn't seem to matter. Whether a preacher's had six wives doesn't seem to matter. Whether he's had an affair doesn't seem to matter. Whether he's homosexual doesn't matter. Whole denominations or ordaining. Ordaining. As if man can supersede God's word. God loves all of these people, but he calls all of us to repentance. You say, Brother Venable, I won't come to your church if you don't go with the flow. You better start looking, because there's a church down the road that will accommodate you. They'll be glad to have you. They will tell you everything you want to hear. But you can't go to heaven on somebody else's faith. And you're not going to answer to what some denomination decides. That's why God preserved his word. And if he went to such length to preserve it, the least we can do as preachers is not draw back from proclaiming it. You have a right to know how you're going to be judged on that day. You have a right to know what the scriptures say. Can you say amen? Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Neither the fornicator. That means living in it without ever repenting of it. Nor the idolater. Nor the covetous. Nor the abuser. Nor the effeminate. Nor the abuser of themselves with mankind. Hath any part in the kingdom of God. You don't wait till you stand before God to discover that you have no right to heaven. And that there's no back door to heaven. Why in the world, literally, do we not hear any of this preached from those who have the influence, and along with that influence, the responsibility to tell the truth? Because when you lose the view of the soon coming of Jesus, you become earthbound and materialistic. And every scripture, the hundredfold, is just about money. It's not about the fulfillment and the joy and the peace of the kingdom. Mafia hitman. Wearing Armani suits, Stacy Adams shoes, driving Mercedes. He said, I could go to New York City because I was good at it and I got paid so much. He said, I could go to New York City and I could not rent a room at a hotel. I could rent a suite of rooms, $10,000 a night. For me and my friends to party. He said, I could buy the most expensive clothes and the most expensive jewelry, and I could buy liquor and I could buy women. But I couldn't buy one peaceful night's sleep. So a friend of his saw the torment. See, everybody sees the car, they see the Rolex, they see the party, they don't see the torment that's going on in the soul. But a close friend saw his empty eyes and his tormented life, and he took him to a church. And when I heard his testimony, it made me feel good, because he said it was a double wide trailer church. Hallelujah. It wasn't some big church, some big preacher telling him how to get more stuff. That's not what he needed. He needed deliverance. He needed peace. He needed joy. He needed the kingdom of God. He needed his sins forgiven and his guilt taken away. And he said, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I was the first one forward that night. And he said, when I walked out of that little church, I've never been the same. Everything changed. Everything changed. Hallelujah. I looked at my feet, and they looked new. I looked at my hands, and they did too. Can you say, man, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Praise God. Praise God. It's a purifying hope. A purifying hope. And he that has it, holds it and sustains it, purifies himself as he is pure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like what John Piper said. I don't like everything he said, but I like this. He said, this confident hope gives us the encouragement and enablement. The Bible called it a blessed hope for daily living. It does not put us in rocking chairs where we complacently await the return of Jesus Christ. Instead, it puts us in the marketplace, on the battlefield, where we keep on going when the burdens are heavy and the battles are hard. Hope is not a sedative. It is a shot of adrenaline, a spiritual blood transfusion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand? I want to share this with you as we close. Purity. Sanctification. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Where is it? If this is a purifying hope, what happens when we don't keep it in the forefront? The purity goes in the pulpit. The purity goes in the marriage. The purity goes in the home. The purity goes in the Christian life. And Christians, in the name of God's grace of all things, that provided through the shed blood of Jesus, want to live in rebellion and sin and claim the blessings of God because we sent a check to somebody. You're not dealing with that man. You're not going to answer to that denomination. You're going to answer to Almighty God. Oh, I want to be, better at purity. It's hard in a world that's so filthy to be pure. But this is a purifying hope. This is a purifying hope. This is a purifying hope. There's a little critter that lives in certain areas. He's called the ermine. You ever heard of an ermine? An ermine fur? It is 100% pure snow white. And you know how they trap ermines? They don't just go out and build these elaborate traps because they're really wary of all of that. They're real nervous creatures. They're snow white. When they trap ermine, E-R-M-I-N-E, you probably never heard of it. It's in Europe. It's just think of a smaller rabbit type creature without the big ears, but perfectly white, snow white. You know what they do? Because the ermine, if they get threatened, they have holes and they go in that hole and they burrow so deep they can't get them out with dogs or nothing else. There's tunnels down in there and they just keep running. But they learned how to catch them. Would you like to know how they catch this little nervous creature? They go to their hole first before they loose the dogs. Because they can outrun the dogs and they can dig deeper than the dogs can pull them out. And they take filth that they brought in buckets. Filth. Anything that stinks and is rank and is dirty. and they rub that all along the entrance to the hole. And then they set the dogs loose and the ermines head for home. They know I can outrun the dog, and if I get to that hole, I'm safe. They won't kill me and skin me. I'm safe. But when he gets to the opening of that hole that represents his safety and his only hope, he will not get that filth on his fur. He won't do it. He'd rather die, and he does. We don't have a problem with fornication as so-called followers of Jesus. We don't have a problem with pornography as so-called followers of Jesus. Pastors meeting with 150 pastors not long ago, the speaker that spoke to us talked about the pink elephant in the room. It's pornography. And it's not just in the pew, it's in the pulpit. We've been cleansed and set apart. It's called sanctified. Can you say amen? But we're not like the ermine. We think we can be sanctified and set apart unto God for a holy purpose and wallow in the filth of this world. We're wrong. It's taken its toll. It's taken its toll. We can show the gold. We can show the silver today. We can show the tall steeples and the stained glass. And we can show the Bentleys and the Rolls Royces. But we can't show the healing and the deliverance and the salvation. We can teach people to say, come tie my bow tie and tell them they're all right. And until we heed the call from Jesus Christ to come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not what? The unclean thing. And I will receive you. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Be ye not unequally yoked, the believer and the unbeliever. And then he said, as it is written, are you ready for revival? As it is written, saith the Lord, I will walk in them. That's when God can feel at home in this human vessel and use it for his honor and his glory. Can you say, man? And I will walk in them, and I will move in them. The next chapter begins with, dearly beloved, having these promises that God wants to come in us. He wants to move through us. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Say ermine. Come on, all filthiness. Say filthiness. Come on, God sees things different than what we're putting up with today. I said, God sees things different. He calls it what it is. Let us cleanse ourselves. He's talking to us. Of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness. In the fear of the Lord. If we empty this building, I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. Be sure. It don't matter what that preacher tells you, what you got on that tape, or what you're listening to on television. Be sure. Our sin, Brother Taylor, will find us out. But we have a glorious opportunity, amen, to get our focus back. How many are risen with Christ? Wave at me. You've been saved. If you've been saved, the same power that brought him out of the grave has operated in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Seek. Colossians 3. Say it with me. Colossians 3. I want you to get the word today. Come on. Some of you are looking at me like this is my opinion. No, this is your Bible. This is your Lord. This is your Savior. This is your God speaking to you. Hallelujah. Seek. Seek what? Those things that are above. They don't know what to do in Panama Beach. You know how we don't see things as filthy and sinful. We've been so deadened to it. The church has not awakened the conscience of the nation because the church is messed up as they are. When a young woman can be gang raped in Panama City Beach with hundreds of people around watching it and nobody doing nothing. How about your sister, your mama, your daughter? We're living in a world that has no conscience. It's not just the evil of the people who raped her. It's the wickedness of the people who looked on and didn't care. I'm sorry, that's your news. That's the real world. Where is the outcry from the pulpit? Where is the call to holiness? We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. This salt is not to make Jesus palatable, to make them want water so they'll drink living water. Salt was used to preserve meat from rotting. And if you didn't salt it and you put it in that smokehouse, if you did not salt it, it will putrefy and it will rot. And we're in a society where the salt has lost its savor, its ability to stop the rot. But you had to come here today. I don't know if you were drugged and brought here or drugged here. But you ended up here today. Because God wants you and me to make a difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants you and me to make a difference. Oh, Holy Spirit, before he is power, he is a holy person. Hallelujah. Sister Venable, I've come too far. I have not compromised to this point to try to get people to applaud me, love me, support me, come into this little church or any other church where I preach. I am not going to change. Amen. Does the Word of God is the Word of God. It'll always be the Word of God. And when the church gets to where she don't want the Word of God, I do not want to pastor that church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God loves you. God loves you. That's the Holy Spirit. God loves you. God loves you. Halabasundara. Salabakitiandaraba. Ora sandaraba sataya. Korobohosanda. Kelaba. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. When is the last time we've took an honest inventory about the pride, the compromise? Amen. Amen. You could come in here with some joy if there wasn't compromise in your life. You could obtain some peace if there wasn't that tension between you and a holy God. Can you say amen? God could use you to touch somebody. How many people? Say Ehrman again, the Ehrman. How many people know what happened the moment your sins were forgiven? Your old rotten robe, filth stained, spotted by the flesh, was traded for his pure robe. If you ever see me here in a white suit, with white shoes, white shirt, white belt, white tie to match, don't ask me to go with you to the hog pen. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? There's no way I can go in that and come out like I went in. Can you say amen? How many believe the church needs to get out of the hog pen? Can you say amen? We need to quit wallowing with the world. And we need to get really right with God so a Holy Ghost revival can come to the church first and then to the nation. Amen. Judgment doesn't begin in Hollywood or Las Vegas or Atlantic City. Judgment begins not at the White House, and it doesn't even begin at the whorehouse. Oh, I said whore? God said, if you love the world and you're a Christian, and you're trying to live the double standard, you adulterers and adulteresses. God says to ancient Israel, woe to them that go a-whoring from me. I'm your husband. If you want my blessing, my covering, you can't bow to other gods. And you can't blatantly disobey me. So if pornography is your deal, my deal, our deal, we need to deal with it. So you can be safe. So God can keep us. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about understanding that we need a cleansing. When my son got involved, my youngest son, 12 years old, shown hardcore stuff by an older friend of his, he said, Daddy, I've asked God to forgive me, but he said, I would pray and I'd go right back. I would ask God, I would go right back. You know why he went right back? He said, Dad, it's like a drug. I've never used drugs, but this was the strongest thing that you could ever imagine. Listen to me. It'll hook you. It'll hook me. Oh, my son, listen, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Without a move of God, we're belly up. Come on. We don't have no big influential people here. Without the presence and power of God, we're belly up. We cannot entertain you. We cannot serve you with all kinds of amenities. We can only offer you the unadulterated truth on Sunday morning. So if you want to be free, you can get set free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that don't please you, there's places that will. But I have a charge from God. An old cat woke me up squalling at 5 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to do him bodily harm. And I love cats too. I love animals. I would have never hurt him. And I wanted to throw something at him, holler at him, shut him up. And I thought, if my dog hears him, because my dog was snoring. And he don't normally snore through hearing a cat. You know what they do when they get crazy. But I decided, well, I'm going to get up. It's 5 a.m, but I'm going to get up. I hadn't been asleep very long, but I'm getting up. And when I got up, instead of thinking about the cat, the Holy Spirit came on me. And I thought, Lord, you didn't. You didn't send that cat, did you? Because you knew I wouldn't be up studying and seeking your face if that cat hadn't started bellowing. I believe God sent that old cat. Good thing I didn't go out and mess with him, huh? No, I said, since I'm up, I'm going to seek your face for tomorrow. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek your face. And along about 6:15 in the morning, the Holy Ghost came on me. And God said, go and tell my people. That's why I'm not preaching for the smile or the applause or the offering today. I'm obeying my master today. Hallelujah. God loves you. There's a safe place. You get rid of the filth. Hallelujah. There's a hiding place in him. Glory to God. How many believe there's room? There's room in your life and my life for some cleansing. How many believe there's room? Wave at me if you believe that. Let God see it. Let God say, there's room. Pastor Venable, you know this. There should be no room. There's always room as long as you're dealing with the flesh. There's room. I don't know about you, but I want to, when the devil's after me, I want to get in my hole. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, submit yourself unto God? What happens then? What happens between you and your enemy when you're totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You're not playing church anymore. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. What happens when you're submitted to God and you resist him? He what? He flees from you. You cannot be defeated by a devil that's running from you.